It really would be most helpful if you knew what it was that you believed. Especially the most important things about what you believe about God, life, purpose, your purpose. And I wouldn't leave these questions for the last minute, for a time of crisis or extreme difficulty. Look into it while you can give it some quiet thought. We offer an affirmation of our faith each time we meet at Daleville Christian Church, and this one is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. The word of God today for the message is from Matthew's Gospel in the 5th chapter, verses 43 through 48. This is a part of what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. Kind of a long teaching portion. Jesus spoke to the crowds, and he went up on a hill to teach, which would help with the acoustics for people to hear. And so, chapter 5, verse 43, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Today we will talk about the topic of hate. And we'll discover today that we really have to talk about the word hate in the Bible for some very important reasons, and we'll get to those. But let me say early on that just as we often misuse the word love when we say, I love pizza or I love God, one of those is a misuse of the word love, the same is true of the word hate. I mean, do you really hate broccoli? Do you hate Brussels sprouts? Or take my cat, for example. Take my cat, please. I was in the office one day and woman came in and she noticed my hand. It was streaked with cuts and there were scabs and signs of bleeding all over it. And she said, what happened to you? And I said, oh, it's my cat. And she said, what did you do to your cat? And I said, oh, I was petting it. Now, some people would say, your cat hates you. Does it? I confess, I'm not sure how my cat feels about me. The cat appears to be devoted to my wife. That seems clear, but I don't know how the cat feels about me. However, I do know that my cat, like all cats, is a natural-born killer. The teeth, the claws, the stealth, the eyesight, and the night vision, and the keen hearing are all designed to help the cat get a good meal. Now, maybe you've not looked closely at your hand. Perhaps you haven't noticed how much it looks like a small rodent. Notice the tail or the beady eyes. Maybe you don't see it, but my cat's vision is very keen. Something about my hand provoked a response in my cat's brain that said, oh boy, dinner time. My cat attacked my hand with intent to kill my hand. My cat doesn't hate me. My cat doesn't even know me very well. But my cat is not able to reflect on his cat brain's response to whatever he is seeing. However, we as human beings can reflect on what we are seeing and what our brains are telling us. We human beings can do that, but we often don't. We will stay instead. We'll say, your cat hates you. Or we will say, I hate him. Or I hate you. Younger children, even teenagers, will say in a fit of rage to their parents, I hate you. Do they? Do they really? Do they really hate their parents? Probably not. I spoke with a Vietnam veteran at the post office a couple of months ago. I thanked him for his service to our country. Come to find out, this man had become a kind of advocate for veterans, and he reflected to me that he was glad I told him that I appreciated his service, but that when he came home from Vietnam, it was a different story. He told me they hated us, and I said, no, they didn't hate you, but they thought they did. I was confronted in college by a Vietnam vet who was about my own age. I don't remember what t-shirt I was wearing, but he perceived my t-shirt as an anti-war t-shirt. But heck, I was a sophomore in college. I was anti-everything back then. This vet was angry with me, and that's okay, but he misunderstood that he was not the Vietnam War. I knew that. My t-shirt was not protesting him as a soldier. The war was a state of affairs in which he was a participant. Our entire country was a participant. I was a participant. I couldn't see the war as beneficial to any of us. I didn't hate him, although I think he thought I did. I felt sorry for him, I felt sorry for me, and I felt sorry for our country. We were all hurting. The Vietnam veteran I spoke to at the post office believed that when he arrived home from Vietnam, he thought people hated him. Had the people he saw reacted too much like my cat, ready to pounce, tooth and claw, when in fact that young man was a young soldier returning home? He was not the cause or the solution of their problems or suffering. Those people who showed hatred to that Vietnam vet, they did not use their God-given ability to reflect on what their brains were telling them. My cat does not have that ability, but we do. Does my cat hate me? I don't think so. Did those people hate that returning soldier? I don't think so. They didn't even know him. Hate, the word hate, the way we use it is a personal, emotional response to, well, usually a person, or at least we personalize it. Let me say that we personalize hate so that we say, I hate X, whatever X is. Broccoli, Brussels sprouts, Kate, kale, or another human being, or a race of human beings. The dictionary tells us, by definition, the first definition of the word hate is a feeling, intense or passionate dislike for someone. It's a feeling. And you and I have been taught that you can't always trust your feelings. Like when you feel that God isn't listening to your prayers because God is listening to you and to your prayers. And that feeling of hate is aimed or provoked by someone, so we make it personal. But also, by definition, the first definition, you have to claim some knowledge about that person you claim to hate. We can't hate people we don't know. You and I can't hate Martians. We don't know any Martians. So we might ask first, concerning people we claim to hate, that what do we truly know about them? I mentioned a few weeks ago about a man who belonged to a hate group. That group had regular Bible studies, and he found confirmation for his hate there. I'll get to that in a minute. And it's part of the reason for the sermon today. But when that man met a Muslim woman, she wasn't anything like the Muslims he felt he knew. He soon after left the hate group. That man could no longer feel an intense or passionate dislike for the Muslim that he did know. That brings us to God. Since we claim God is love, by definition of hate, God cannot hate. Insofar as God is love, we would have to say that hate, as we understand hate, that's human hate is not in keeping with the will of God, and hate is not a part of God's will for us. Just as the words of today's Bible verses make clear, love even your enemies. And yet we do read several times in the Old Testament that God hates. Made you read it today in the opening sentences from Psalm 5. So maybe hate means something different in ancient Hebrew than in modern English. And the answer is that yes, hate means something different in ancient Hebrew than in modern English. What does hate mean in the Bible? I like to say that hate in English is a four-letter word. But in Hebrew, hate is a three-letter word. What does hate mean in the Bible? What does the word hate mean when we read that our God hates something? And I provided a numbers chart for you in the notes for the word hate in two versions of the English Bible. Some of you can probably quote at least one scripture wherein we read that our God hates something, like divorce. But look at Psalm 5, verse 5. Both versions of the Bible translate Psalm 5, 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou, O Lord, hatest all workers of iniquity. Some folks will say, and maybe you have heard, hate the sin, but love the sinner. Never mind that that's not what Psalms 5 just said. I ask, have you ever done that? Have you hated the sin and not the sinner? It's hard to do. Take my cat, for example. Can I love my cat and only hate what he does to me? I tell my cat, all I want to do is hold you and love you and hug you. And my cat sits there staring at me with tail twitching and claws and sharp teeth ready. Ready to rip me to shreds. Pretty tough to actively love on my cat. But my cat is a cat. It's my cat's nature to be a natural-born killer. His behavior has kept his species alive for thousands of years. What about human beings? Think about hating someone or someone hating you. Is it because of their very nature? Or is it something they do? Something they don't have to do, but they do it. A neighbor who won't make their dog stop barking no matter the time of day or night, even when you have asked them to do something about it. A neighbor whose property is trashy, or in this day and age, the property is abandoned and the distant owner won't do anything, even when threatened with punishment by the authorities. And we have that sometimes even with companies or cities that pollute. Do we hate the offender? Or do we hate what they do? Sitting in church, we can often tell the difference. But at a public protest or while we are on Facebook, we lose the ability to separate the sin and the sinner. I admit it's hard to separate sin and sinner. It was hard for even the great apostle who said in Romans 7, "So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am." The apostle states that evil is right there and calls himself a wretched man because of it. But the apostle does not call himself evil. He does not identify with the evil. The evil is waging war in the apostle for sin. And the apostle does not want to do it. And then the apostle states that he can be delivered from this in Jesus Christ. Now, when we read about Adam and Eve in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, they had not sinned when they ate of the fruit. Clearly, in that example, you could love the new sinner and hate the sin. But ever since then, we are tainted with sin and we can't remove it. But we don't have to do evil if we turn to Jesus. Jesus will work with us. The Bible uses the words repent, transformation, new creature, all things new, born again. What you and I might call a fresh start, a do-over with no penalty. Because Jesus paid the penalty. Will we be successful in our struggle with sin? The Bible says no, but we have help. So that A, if we slip, maybe we won't fall. And B, if we fall, we have help to get up and try again. Anyone here like me catch yourself when you were falling and that was still pretty painful? But you didn't fall and hit the ground and break anything? The Bible says we have help. If we slip, maybe we won't fall. And if we fall, we have help to get up and try again. Like the comedian said, if you fall off the couch, you have to get right back up on it again, turn on the TV, and try again. Hate is often not a reasonable response. It's an emotional response. Having said that, perhaps you'll tell me, Pastor, you don't know, or don't you know, it's okay for me to hate because God hates. Well, let's talk about that. Several passages of God's Word that we might refer to in the Old Testament, so let's look at two of the Psalms, Psalm 5. You hate all who do wrong, the Bible says. You, O Lord, hate all who do wrong. You hate all workers of iniquity. Hard to explain that verse, isn't it, for a God who is himself love? Or Psalm 11, verse 5, the Lord hates with a passion. We might look at some other versions and translations, which we'll do. There are a couple of different words in Hebrew translated as hate, but these in the Psalms are the same. But how to translate? One translation states there is a cruel hatred, which is a very crude way of saying there's a hate that leads to violence. That's a cruel hatred. One translation suggests, for you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. Evil cannot remain with you. And that's true. Evil cannot remain or abide with God. Evil and God are always separated. One interpreter points to Psalm 5 to say the metal worker is behind the image of what God sees. God sees the refined metal, but the dross is neglected or hated. The dross is poured out on the ground. The metal is retained and kept by the metal worker. We've seen this when we talk about the holiness of God. Humans have difficulty in God's presence because we are not holy, and God is. See Isaiah chapter 6. In the same way, in the light or fire of God's presence, like metal and dross, separate. Those who reject God are separated from God, contrasting God's love, which was offered them, and they rejected, and therefore the Bible uses the word hate for the description of God's reality toward them. Take an actual courtroom judge. Whether any human judge loves, hates, or does not care about a criminal, the human judge must still pronounce a guilty verdict with punishment. It's required. Doesn't matter how the judge feels about the lawbreaker. But one could say that the judge hates the lawbreaker. Another commentator put it this way, that God loves and is love, and yet God is described as hating. The difficulty arises when we wrongly assume that God hates in the same way men hate. Hatred in human beings is generally thought of in terms of strong emotional distaste or dislike for someone or something. However, in God, hate is a judicial act on the part of the righteous judge who separates the sinner from himself. It's not contradictory to God's love, for in his love for sinners, God has made it possible for sin to be forgiven so that all can be reconciled to God. Oil and water may be another better example. Do oil and water hate each other? Well, they can't share the same space. They're always separate. They can't abide each other. So it is with God and sin. And so it is with God and the sinner. Another commentator said it this way: when we are asked to hate the sinners, it doesn't mean an emotional experience. God is separated from the sinner, and the righteous also must want to be separated from the sinners as God is. But again, emotions do not enter into it. We, like a judge, must be separated from sin. Jesus will say in our Bible verses today, we are to be perfect. And we read that, and all of us are crestfallen for a moment. But you and I cannot be perfect or be perfected except through Jesus Christ, who is our perfection, which means we must follow Christ to be like him. We do not perfect ourselves. We are made perfect by Jesus. And that's how you become perfect, is in following Jesus. Do you hate imperfection? It certainly distressed the Apostle Paul. Wretched man that I am, Paul wrote. So when we read Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Does Jesus mean we must despise our family members? No. For Jesus, there is no such thing as a holy hate for other people, as we usually understand that phrase. Rather, Jesus calls us to love all, even the enemy. To hate one's family only means to describe the unconditional character of discipleship. One's loyalties cannot be compromised or doubted. Jesus said, "Abide in me." Not in anyone else, not in anything else. Abide in me, said Jesus. Jesus says, love all, follow me, love all, abide in me. Does this give us some clues about hatred in the world, especially those who claim a righteous hatred for others? Jesus knew nothing about such a thing as righteous hatred. Jesus was always inviting. Does the message today give us some clues about Christians and hatred? Jesus would never understand how his followers could put the word hate next to their names. You may continue to hate broccoli if you wish. You can hate the world situation. You can hate the craziness of Wall Street. But we are called to love people, even the enemy. So let me ask this question. Should we, as followers of Jesus, should we learn to hate more and better? Or should we learn to love more and better? That question is next week's topic. Amen. It's going to get up there today. Ooh, hit save.